House Finance Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, March 21st at 5:02 PM. So although I recessed last meeting, I should have adjourned that meeting because we have a second meeting that is noticed for right now. So just by default, it does adjourn, and we are in our second noticed meeting of the day. Present today at our 5 o'clock meeting, second meeting, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Colom, Representative Ortiz somewhere. We have Representative Kronk, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chair Foster, and myself, Co-Chair Johnson. We are being assisted with by our LIO moderator, Talia Ames, and Committee Secretary, Leah Frazier. We are joined just now by Representative Staff. This evening, the committee will take public testimony from on operating and mental health budgets. The operating budget and mental health budget from 5 to 8 p.m. for Juno, as well as statewide off-net callers. Please call in or sign up by 7:30 p.m. in order to be included in tonight's testimony. We have a limited number of phone lines available, so please hang up after your testimony. We're also asking that testimony be restricted to 2 minutes per person. The time limit will be strictly enforced. I try to give folks a 10-second warning before their time is up. And we will be moving on right now. We will be moving on to public testimony, HB 39 and HB 41. And we have members of the public here in the room that are, first up, we have Michael Busey representing himself. Please go ahead, come forward, put yourself on the record, and when you're ready, you may begin your public testimony. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Michael Busey, and I'm a Juno Middle School teacher, and I support raising the base student allocation 20% from its current level in the operating budget. There's a saying that education is expensive, but ignorance is more so. Education is expensive, but it all depends on what kind of education you want. We had to leave Alaska for a year in 2016, and one of our children, through scholarship, was able to attend a private school in Connecticut for her seventh grade year. Teacher ratio, 10 to 1. Arts, theater, music, languages, sports, clubs, specialists, field trips, social activities, all part of providing an excellent education. The teachers, mostly Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, the principal, a PhD from Harvard. The facilities, breathtaking. The cost, expensive. The outcome, life-changing. Why do I mention this rarefied experience? Because you are choosing the experience our children will have for a major part of their lives. In my school, I teach classes of up to 43 11-year-olds. I'm a good music teacher, but nobody can pay attention to all the children's needs in that environment, let alone provide an excellent personalized experience. One of my peers at my school here in Juneau teaches math and science to a class of 43 sixth graders, and 15 of those in his class are special education students. Is this because of inept administration, hiding cash in their Cayman Island accounts? No. It's because the governor and legislature have not funded schools adequately. Not extravagantly or adequately. You know the crisis we're in. Districts can't hire teachers or settle contracts. People are moving out of the state. Education is expensive. But what kind of schools do you propose for our children? In my school, we've seen a 28% decrease in the number of teachers over the last 14 years. We used to have 2 music teachers. Now there's 1. We used to have 2 PE teachers. Now we have 1. We used to have Spanish, French, and German. Now we don't. We used to have a truancy officer. Now we don't. And absenteeism is way up. Education is expensive, but not as expensive as last year's PFD payout or this year's proposed mega handout. We can afford this. You have a constitutional mandate to provide and maintain the schools, and the schools are falling apart. I congratulate the legislature on an overdue pay raise of 67%. Now raise the BSA 20%. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. Any questions, committee? Thank you. We have next, if you would like to come back, we do have a question from Galvin. Thank you,
Representative Galvin. Through the chair, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being a teacher and staying in that profession. I do have a question around if you have a sense of the resources that are in education and how much they're going toward administration, if that's something that you've been able to assess at all. I realize that you're in a building where you have a little bit of an admin, but if you've any sense of that.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, I've spoken with my principal at my school here in Juneau, and her I asked how things changed in the 14 years that she's been a principal there, Molly Yerkes. And she said, besides Juneau losing a superintendent, they've lost two of their custodial staff. They used to have four, now they have two. They've lost one of their counselors. They used to have two, now they have one. Nurse became a part-time position. So administration has been cut. That's as much as I know about that. I do appreciate a well-funded administration. I know that she spends a lot of time doing lunch duty and doing truancy. We used to have a truancy officer fully funded that took care of that. Now the office has to take care of that. All these things keep adding up and adding up, and it shows in the classrooms and the performance.
Thank you. I have one more follow-up, if I may.
I would like to keep this to public testimony, if we could, with one question.
Okay.
I mean, I'd like to not make it too much of a dialogue. Thank you.
I'll know that in the future.
Kosher Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say I want to thank you for having a solution to the problem that you see. And maybe not everybody might agree, but you're offering that the PFD was one solution. Just an hour ago, we had the revenue forecast come in for the state showing that the governor's budget, which was down by around $400, $500 million deficit, we're now looking at an additional $679 million in reduced revenue due to decreased oil prices. And so the issues that we're dealing with are, where are we going to get that from the PFD, from taxes, from cuts, from, oil tax credit reductions, from our savings? Where are we going to get that? So I just wanted to thank you for offering that. I hope that other folks testifying will also have some kind of proposal for how to balance the budget. So thank you.
Thank you so very much. The next we in the room, we have Luann McBay. If she would like to come forward, please, and put yourself on the record. And you have two minutes for public testimony.
Thank you. Chair Johnson and members of the House Finance Committee, thank you for hearing me and allowing me the opportunity to comment on the operating budget. I'm Luann McBay. I live in Douglas. I'm a retired Alaskan teacher. And I'm very aware of several positive and helpful appropriations included in the budget, including match for ferries, grants for seniors and people with disabilities, funding for health professional recruitment and retention. There's extension of Medicaid coverage that wasn't there before, and there are funds for the Public Defender's Agency. These services make a difference for Alaskans, and I urge you to keep them in the budget. As a retired Alaskan teacher, I'm also aware of some glaring needs, and I strongly support increasing the base student allocation. In addition, to retain our public employees, including teachers, we need to bring back defined contribution, a defined contribution pension plan
as described in SB 88. These funds must be included in the budget. I'm also concerned about cuts to state library positions and grants for 86 public libraries in the state, and I'd like to see our rural radio stations receive adequate funding. Cuts are not the only solution to a slimmer state wallet. Our state can generate income through increased oil taxes. I've been saying that for several years when I've come to testify here. Also, I believe it's time to institute a statewide income tax and a more modest PFD payment. I've lived here in Alaska, in Juneau, since 1957, and my elderly parents are in the Pioneer Home, so my family is very important to me. I also have two grown daughters with families, and they work and live in Juneau, and I'm very proud of them. But to me, what will keep them in the state and working and contributing to our community would be an adequate budget that can provide services for Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you testifying in person. Next up in the room, we have Brenda Stanfield, Executive Director for ANDVSA. Brenda, if you would like to, Brenda Stanfield. Welcome. Welcome to House Finance. Good to see you.
For the record, my name is Brenda Stanfield. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Our network is made up of 23 regional programs that provide emergency shelter, advocacy, legal services, and support to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Many of our programs also provide community prevention services to address the core causes of violence and services for those who are abusing, often referred to as batterers intervention programs. These programs provide educational services to allow individuals who are abusing their families to learn new skills. I'm here to speak to you on HB 39, specifically the Department of Public Safety, the Victim Services Funds. The direct services provided by programs to victims of crime are a core component of our criminal justice system. Victims of crime often find themselves without a safe place to stay, a lack of funds to engage in the services necessary to heal from the trauma, and faced with a daunting process of legal hurdles and challenges as the case against the perpetrator moves through the system. The services provided by our programs assist with safety and support during this time and as long as it is needed. The programs have had the same amount of funding for 5 years, while their expenses have continued to increase. During this time, the funding in the Department of Public Safety CDVSA grants line available for the program services has been made up of a patchwork of funds that includes federal appropriations that we've been able to get, some one-time increments of general funds, COVID relief dollars, along with other federal and state funds that are a little bit more stable. It is our hope that you can find a more consistent way to fund our services to crime victims. Our request this year is that you move the $3 million one-time increment from general funds in the Department of Public Safety CDVSA grants line to be $3 million in the base funding of CDVSA. We also request that you fund a one-time increment to assist with the increased cost of operating the buildings that they need to provide emergency shelter and services. This was done last year, hoping that it would be a one-time need, but the costs have not gone down, even though it sounds like maybe oil revenues are.
And we have came and went. 2 minutes has
Thank
came
you.
And went. I do have a question for you. How long have you held your current position?
I am 18 months in my current position.
18 months? But you've been with the state for a number of years.
I was in Fairbanks, Alaska for 25 years as the executive director of the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, which was a direct service organization. So never actually worked for the state, always been in the nonprofits.
I see. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Oh, Representative Stapp.
Through the chair to Ms. Stanfield, I just wanted to say thank you for your testimony, Brenda, and it is always a pleasure to see such a wonderful pillar of our community in Fairbanks to hear before us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Staff.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to testify in person. Appreciate that. Next, we will take up our persons that have called in, that are calling in from off-net. We have Jerry Lynn Devins from Valdez, followed by Fubao Hareli from Juneau. Jerry Lynn, can you, if you would, please put yourself on the record and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Okay, thank you. I can barely hear you, but my name is Jerry Devins, and I live in Valdez, Alaska. And I was calling in today to make comment in support of the state funding public media, because public media is often the only timely, reliable source of critical information in emergency situations that is available in remote Alaskan areas. The more remote you are, the more dependent you are. And it is in the best interest of public safety for the state to fund public media. During the 1964 earthquake, some of the hardest hit communities did not receive adequate emergency warning alerts in comparison to more recent times when we were alerted immediately by public media that there might be tsunami dangers. This funding is a relatively insignificant amount for the state, but it is critical to public media survival in the state and the communities that depend on it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate you calling in. And we have no comments or comments from the committee. Next up, we have Fubao Hareli, followed by Catherine Melville from Juneau. If you would, please put yourself on the record and start your public testimony. Fubao Hareli. Yes,
Hello.
Yes, hello. We can hear you. Apparently, it's hard to hear us, but we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thank you.
You can go ahead.
Hello, my name is Fubao Hareli. I'm here because I'm here to testify on Medicaid budget. Here's why I really feel like Medicaid should be in the budget, because I need services, and I feel like we all, everybody in the state needs services as much as we need the PFD. We need more services in Alaska. And I feel like part of the reason why people are moving downstate is to say, don't feel like we have enough services from Medicaid waivers. And also I feel like it's a big deal to testifying and advocating for people with disabilities, and we need to reduce the wait list. Someday, it's now. Part of that is we need more services in Alaska for Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. We do appreciate that your call in tonight. And I don't see any comments or questions from anyone in the room. Next, we have Catherine Melville from the Juneau Public Library, followed by Joanna Forst, also from Juneau. Catherine, if you would, please put yourself on the record, and you can begin your 2 minutes of public testimony.
Thank you. This is Catherine Melville from Juneau, Alaska. I am calling from just down the hill from where you are at the Juneau Public Library, which is my hometown library and where I've been lucky to work for the past 20 years. I just want to thank the committee for the chance to speak, and I'd like to advocate in favor of restoring some funding to the state library, which really directly benefits the Juneau Public Library and libraries around the state. We use it here to do things such as give additional funding to staffing for our children's services. We use it to stretch our dollars in buying items for our collection, including e-resources, and a cut to those funds would be passed on directly to the Juno Public Library and our users. And I'm calling on behalf of the Juno Public Library, but I know you've probably heard from libraries around the state, and for those smaller communities and for those communities whose libraries have a much smaller budget than we do, this would be even more painful. So I just want to advocate on behalf of my colleagues around the state and the people that they serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. I do not see any questions or comments. We do appreciate your testimony this evening. I want to let the record reflect that we have been joined by Representative Gray. Next up, we have Joanna Forst, who is calling in from Juno, followed by Kristen Jones. Ms. Forst, if you would, please put yourself on the record, and you may begin your two-minute public testimony.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Oh, great. I'll admit I'm not as rehearsed or prepared as some of the people I've heard so far. I'm also holding my newborn daughter, so I apologize if you hear her at any point. I just wanted to speak on behalf of the Parents of Teachers Program, support for increasing their funding. As a mental health clinician myself, I've worked primarily with youth and families in my professional career. And that my family's been a part of the Parents of Teachers program since we were pregnant with my son about 2.5 years ago. And we're still participating with him and our newborn daughter. Having a child during COVID, as anyone can imagine, was incredibly difficult. And we received a lot of support during that time, resources, education, prevention, referrals, a lot of really beneficial resources that we otherwise wouldn't have had because of, you know, quarantine and the isolation around that. And since then, we've gotten to connect even further with groups, education, socially for us as parents and my son. It's been a huge benefit. Every single employee here in Juno, that Parents as Teachers, has staff, has been a positive influence in our lives, and even beyond Juno, I've been connected with their staff from around the state. They offer a free virtual webinar series, which has been really, again, educational and has really broadened our skills and capabilities as parents and just people in general. We've even received, like, employment opportunities through them. And I can't speak more highly about the program here in Juno and in Alaska. And really, I know they're usually at full capacity, or they're always
you are at 2 minutes, and if you would okay. Begin your wrap up, please.
I'll wrap up, yeah. I know they've had a wait list of 60 plus people at certain times, so increasing their funding would allow for more families to be served and benefit like we have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so very much. We do appreciate you calling in tonight. Next we have Kristen Jones from Juno, and then she will be followed by Kathy Leary, the city administrator for the city of Gustavus. Ms. Jones, if you would, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm calling from Juno. I am calling from Bartlett campus, and I'm calling on behalf of my little brother, Owen Jones, who is also a born and raised Juno in Juno, and he has been using Medicaid his entire life. And I am calling to advocate for the Medicaid waivers having more flexibility in the spending. Just several months ago, Owen expressed that he would like to start using some mental health services. We were unable to get the funding anywhere, so including Medicaid waivers, and so I am currently paying out of pocket for his services. And being in the mental health profession myself, I feel this is a huge need, especially for somebody like my brother and many other people around the state. And it should be an available service. I know that there's limited providers in town, but if we could open up those services to more people, especially the people who are asking for them, who are expressing that they need them, that are using Medicaid and don't have many other options, it would make a huge difference to so many people. So I appreciate the opportunity to express myself and appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. We do have someone that would like to just have a moment here, Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to Kristen Jones. Kristen is Representative Stapp. Hey, I just want to thank you so much for calling in and offering your testimony. And as I told a previous commenter referencing the same issue, the 1115 waiver process is up for renewal this year, as well as the amend. So if you're looking at services that you're trying to get offered, there will be a public comment period with the amended process, and I would encourage you to make your voice heard at that testimony as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for calling in. Next we have Kathy Leary, the City Administrator for the City of Gustavus, and that is our final caller at this time. Ms. Leary, would you like to go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony?
Yes, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Kathy Leary, and I'm the City Administrator in Gustavus. I have a few things that are priorities amongst our population here. I'd like to echo the sentiments of the woman about the public radio. It is a public safety issue, especially in an area here where we have pretty abysmal cell phone service some or most of the year in most locations. And we've had lines cut on our landline for 911. And so it's really important for us to be able to have that public radio availability here. We are really hoping that the state will put the match forward for the ferries, because it's critical to obtaining the federal infrastructure funding. It's critical for school and sports travel, and when weather issues keep us from being able to fly, and the community depends on all of our supplies and groceries and a lot of our, you know, medical appointments to be able to have, you know, access to the ferry. I'm also going to echo the cuts to the state library for the grants across the state. They cut out an additional $7,500 match years ago when I used to run the library, and it's been sort of dwindling ever since. And, you know, with school cuts, the public library here supplements the school with literacy and other reading programs. And while we pay for our librarians, we rely on that budget for the materials to be able to provide the services that the community needs in order to afford those services and offer them. So I'm hoping that that will not happen again. I've seen that happen many times in my life work with libraries. And finally, I just wanted to talk about if there's any match or anything coming forward for PFAS mitigation with Department of Environmental Conservation. We would encourage that to happen. We have a huge problem with it over here, and we
are at and beyond 2 minutes.
PFAS funding to help mitigate that problem with these small communities. So I thank you. Glad to see the pilt and the forest receipts remain unchanged in the budget, and thank you all for your work, and thank you for hearing what our concerns are.
Thank you so very much. We do appreciate your calling in and your public testimony tonight. All right. That concludes our off-net testimony, and we have picked up a few. Looks like three new members have signed up for public testimony here in the room. We have Christina Apathy, followed by Tracy Goldsmith, followed by Lisa Egan-Lagerquist. So, Christina Apathy, if you would like to please come forward, put yourself on the record, and you're welcome to come forward and do a two-minute public testimony.
Hello, my name is Christina Apathy. I'm a first-year teacher. I teach English 10, math applications, creative writing drama at Thunder Mountain High School in Juneau. I support the BSA, the increase in the BSA. Do you know what my classrooms have in common? A lack of hope. Why should I try, Miss Apathy? What is even out there for me or my friends? What will be left once I graduate? These things are not always said in so many words, but in sad eyes, broken hearts, unruly behavior, or in feigned apathy. Yes, apathy. But they care very much. Kids are pissed off at the adults, at a society that can't get its act together, that doesn't care enough to show up in a steady, supportive stream for their endless inquiry, that doesn't set a place for every single one of them at a banquet of bounty. I come from the theater. In order for something truly alive to happen, a director must develop and an ensemble must sense an atmosphere of safety surrounding a journey of risk-taking, a net that will stretch out in size, in abundance, if a precious team member falls. Esteemed legislators, when it comes to learning, it is imperative that you help us weave that net. Yes, education can eke by on weak legs and a pittance, and it has, and it does. But what kind of cobbled-together learning takes place? And why do any of us want that beast on a respirator to survive? The edges of our classrooms are the edges of our society. We can celebrate and start practicing how to disagree productively, or we can choose to escape to digital distractions. We can practice tolerating our uncomfortabilities and walk gently, miraculously forward through the flames, or we can keep playing every man for himself. Welcome to the circle. Welcome to school. The instructions and rehearsals on how to live and talk and navigate before the storm hits or before the fish stop coming, it requires all of us on board equally.
If you would wrap up, we are at and past 2 minutes.
What kind of people do we want to inherit the earth? What do they and we have to look forward to? Whoever they are, whatever it is, will be of our own making. We are only left with one thing, that is the question. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Tracy Goldsmith, in-room testifier. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hi, thank you. My name is Tracy Goldsmith. I am a resident of Juneau, and I've been a teacher here for 11 years now. I'll be brief. I'm just here to implore all of you to work your hardest to increase education funding this year. As many people have probably already stated, with this lack of funding and flat funding for the past 7 years, we've lost people. It's hard to hire people, which means we lose families to our communities. And so I'm just here in support of public education, and the BSA room was totally packed, so I wanted to make sure my voice was heard somewhere. Thank you for working hard on the behalf of all of us Alaskans.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate your showing up in person for public testimony. Next up, we have Lisa Egan Lagerquist, followed by Katie Pittman. That would be persons here in the room that have signed up. And if you would, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and you can begin your public 2 minute public testimony.
Hi, I'm Lisa Egan Lagerquist. I am a mother of two, a seventh grader and a ninth grader, and I'm also a former teacher here from the high school. I just like to always know who I'm talking to. How many of you ever went to school? Okay, I'm seeing pretty much everyone. So we don't need to tell you what school's like, but I'm sure you can remember. And I tried to think of what could I say that might be different than something else someone else said. So I want to share three quick stories about my kids and teachers that impacted them and made a difference. And I don't want to lose those teachers. The first one is Miss Stanek, my son's fourth grade teacher, who's now a freshman. And one day she came to me and said, you know, I don't think your son can see. Sure enough, we took him to the doctor. He needed glasses. And picking those glasses up at Costco, he put them on. And he looked way far away and he said, Mom, that says Heinz ketchup up there. I couldn't see it before. Back in the car, he was staring out the window, just staring and staring. He said, Mom, there's leaves on the trees. I can see those leaves. Without Miss Stammett, we wouldn't have gotten glasses for years. Just recently, he joined Model UN, and he got to go to Anchorage. The librarian was that leader of Model UN, and she told me, you know, I've done this for 20 years, and I'm sick of it, and I didn't want to do it again. But there was one student who really wanted to do Model UN, and he asked every single teacher in the school, and they all said, we're too tired. We can't do it. So she did it. My son, Sam, who's a good student but not really passionate about it, one morning on the way to school said, Mom, I got Iraq. I knew he had Iraq because he'd been studying half hour a night on Iraq. I said, do you know that they are not a voting member on the refugee committee? They don't have a vote. That means I don't have a vote. He was so mad. This was passion. This was because this librarian was willing to do this activity. We cannot lose her, and she's ready to be done. She's tired. Finally, my young son, he has an IEP, and he's in a regular classroom and succeeding, but not without the aid of his special ed teacher, Elizabeth Wilkins. I mean, and she, too, wants to leave. And I'm probably out of time.
That's right.
But please increase the BSA. Know that our kids are valuable, every single one of them. And if we don't keep funding education as hard as full as we can, it'll be a sad thing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate you coming in and testifying in person. My final interim person is Katie Pittman, if you would like to come forward and place yourself on the record and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Good evening. Thank you for opening up for public comment. My name is Katie Pittman. I carry the name Koske from the Thunderbird clan. Just to give you a little bit of background, I grew up in a village. I did not have hot water, running water. Very thankful for that. I've lived on the North Slope. I've been a resident out in the Aleutians. I've spent a chunk of time on the Kenai Peninsula, all of which was in the private and public sector of education and health-related fields. As you look at the budget, and we are all, everybody that is caring for Alaskans is coming to you asking for money, and it is all very important. But with the shift I'm seeing in schools is that the power that the state has is not there to the level that it was. Yes, we're feeling the might of the REEDS Act, and we're seeing the strength that that funding has on curriculum choices and other things. But without an increase in the BSA for so many years, private organizations and other grants and public funding, federal funding, is having a more powerful voice in our schools than our state. Your power does come in the form of dollars many times. I'm an administrator here in the Juneau School District, and I manage federal title money. I also, half of my budget comes from the general fund. And those things fund certified teachers, cultural specialists in our classified staff, many people that provide services that prevent students from ending up needing social services work, police officers work, public safety. So just please consider investing early in our Alaskans and in our public sector of education. Thank you.
Thank you. I do appreciate your public testimony. We are now going to go off net. We have someone that's been online for bit here. Nola Lamkin, if you can hear me, please go ahead and put yourself on the record and you may begin your public testimony.
I can hear you. Thank you. This is Nola Lamkin in Juneau. And I hope you can remember these powerful testimonies of the importance of state funding. And when we get together, that money will go so much further than individuals having it all. And I totally support the Medicaid funding and paying attention to the specific needs that people list. And the match from federal funding for the ferry, it's just tragic what's happened to the ferry in the last 20 years. And I would like to see that the ferry strongly improved and make use of the federal funding that Lisa Murkowski has acquired for us. Education is, we have matches, and if we want people to live in Juneau and in the state, we have to have excellent education. So we need to support the teachers, support morale. That reflects itself in their teaching and their enthusiasm, and they're doing all they can. And please let them know that we care. The libraries are very important to me, the Juneau Public Library in particular, and that was spoken to by a librarian. I'll leave that stand. Those are some of the issues that I think are extremely important, along with the communication of the public media. So I thank you very much for your work, your time, and I wish you well and hope you also feel sustained and supported. Thank you.
Thank you for your thoughtful testimony. We do appreciate you calling in. We have one additional person here in the room, Darren Snyder. If you would, come forward, place yourself on the record, and you may begin your public your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Darren Snyder, and I'm the father of three and the grandfather of two Alaskans. I'm here as a private resident of Douglas, Alaska, and I'm here to support the sustainability, prosperity, resilience, and in general, the success for Alaskan communities. Through my day job as a UAF Cooperative Extension Agent, I'm constantly working to positively impact the lives of Alaskans through providing opportunities for improving their food security, their self-reliance, and the well-being of individuals, communities, and Alaskan tribes. On an increasing basis, we are focused also on career and technical education and other ways to help Alaskans to be successful in their post-secondary efforts. When I learned that our magnificent and rich state has failed to keep up with our commitment to educate our K-12 youth over the past 10 years, I was floored. I asked, how can we achieve our goals of every Alaskan to be self-reliant, resilient, and successful if we are not providing even what 2013 level funding for our education system would have gotten us? How are we preparing our kids and communities for the plethora of challenges that are affecting us now and are mounting with each day? The answer is that unless we raise the base student allocation and provide the funding in order to do that, we are not adequately serving our youth, our communities, and our state. When I work at my day job, I'm being paid by the state and federal government to do important work that I feel is undercut by our state's lack of commitment to the schools, educators, and volunteers that make our education system work. And for this reason, as your committee does its work and decides where to put our money, I really encourage you to provide adequate funding for our education system to support things such as House Bill 65 to be able to occur. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming to give your public testimony in person. We do appreciate it. That brings us to that was our final testifier that we have in the room, and we have no one additional off net. At this time, we will recess until 6:15 to begin our public testimony. We will allow some additional people if they call in or show up. We will
take up our public testimony again at 6:15. So with that, House Finance Committee will stand at recess. House Finance back on the record. We are going to start our public testimony by taking our first call from the off-net, our first testifier. We have Nancy Eiler in Juneau. Nancy, if you can hear me, please go ahead and put yourself on the record and you can begin your public testimony.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Nancy Eiler and I live in Juneau. I'm the mother and caregiver of my disabled son. He is 36 years old, and his name is Luke. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to ask you to support Governor Dunleavy's $1.5 million increment for senior and disability service community-based grants. As you know, this money includes support for independent living centers. For many years, Luke has benefited from SAIL services in Juneau. Actually, through their programs, activities, and staff, our whole family has benefited. SAIL has been a resource of information and guidance in finding services for Luke. To be honest, the support and kindness of SAIL staff has been a personal help to me through the years. I did ask Luke if he wanted to be in on this call, and he said he was concerned he might say the wrong thing. He does want you to know, though, that the people of SAIL are very nice, and he enjoyed the skiing, rafting, rock climbing, and he enjoys the monthly autism peer support group. My husband and I are retired. We won't always be here for Luke. So right now, any assistance we can get to help Luke become as independent as possible is so valuable to us. Thank you for supporting the funding increment for senior and disability services community-based grants. And hey, thank you for all that you do. We appreciate your work.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate your calling in and giving public testimony.
Thank you.
All right, we are now to our in-room testifiers, and we will start with Bridget Weiss from the Juneau School District. If you would come forward, put yourself on the record, and you may start your public testimony.
Good evening, Chair Johnson and members of the committee. I am, for the record, Dr. Bridget Weiss. I am the superintendent in Juneau. I am a born and raised Juneauite, third generation, so I'm a product of our school district, and I'm here tonight to urge you to support education as you work through your operating budget. It has been quite an experience being an educator for the past 39 years. And for the past 23 years of those, I have been an administrator consistently looking through assets, resources, and the many, many needs of our students and how to allocate those. Our school board does this every year, right, trying to choose and figure out where to put the limited resources we have. And I know that you all are challenged in doing that as well. The room downstairs is packed tonight in with people supporting an increase in the BSA, and there are some folks there also testifying that public education is not the place to invest. And I'm here to urge you, really similarly to what I did downstairs, if we don't increase our investment in education, we simply as educators cannot do what we need to for students. We can't do what we need to for staff. Here's an example. We know we have teacher shortages. So does the country. I started teaching in 1984, and I had a choice to make at the time, being a very young person. I turned 22 on my first day of teaching, and I chose to stay in Spokane in Meade School District. As a first-year teacher, I earned $14,600. At that time, if I had chosen to come back to Juneau and teach as a first-year teacher, I would have earned $27,000. I went back and found the collective agreement from 1984. I would have doubled my salary to come home. Currently, this year, if I was a first-year teacher in that same school district outside of Spokane, I would make $600 more than if I was a first-year teacher in Juneau. We have lost all of our purchasing power to have our best and brightest people in front of our children. Thank you very much for your support.
We do have, if you would like to make a statement. And
I was going to ask Dr. Weiss one question.
One quick question.
Dr. Weiss, could you tell me about the P&I insurance and the growth of it over the last 3 years for the Juneau School District?
Absolutely. So this is one line item in our budget. It is our property liability insurance. In FY21, as a district, that cost us $200,000. In FY22, that same insurance cost us $400,000. In FY23, which is this school year, that same insurance, that one line item in our budget, is costing us $1.2 million. And as we budget for next year, the price is going up another $59,000.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to the doctor? I'm super impressed. So I'm curious. So in Fairbanks, we effectively pool are on our health side with our borough. I'm curious if the city borough, Juneau, and the school district actually have like a commercial risk pooling arrangement.
We do. We work with our city and borough of Juneau. That's who we pool with for our liability insurance and for some of our groups' health insurance as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Brian Holtz from the Juneau Economic Development Council testifying here in the room, and then he will be followed by Will Muldoon from the Juneau School District. So, Mr. Holtz, if you would like to put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair Johnson and members of the Finance Committee. My name is Brian Holtz. I'm the Executive Director of the Juneau Economic Development Council. I also serve on the Juneau Board of Education. And I'm here to advocate for a much stronger investment in public education. I've served 9 years on the school board. I've seen us make improvements despite inadequate funding. We maintain a high graduation rate. We've even seen our graduation rate amongst minorities increase in that time. Nonetheless, the outcomes are not adequate. We're not satisfied. The resources aren't keeping up. In the 90s, in the first reports of our educational assessments, Alaska was doing as well as the rest of the United States. Today, we lag the national average in math and reading. Our economy requires that 65% of our workers have some post-secondary education, but only 55% of Alaskans have these credentials. There is over a 20% turnover among teachers, meaning approximately 1 in 5 leave annually. This costs Alaska over $20 million a year. Alaska is the only state in the country where teachers and administrators hired after 2006 can't earn a pension. Instead of getting a retirement account that they can take with them, along they leave with their retirement and their experience just after 5 years. Just some comparisons. We need Alaska to be competitive in the market. And how do we rank against other states? New U.S. News and World Reports does some rankings. New Jersey's ranked number one in the nation for education. They spend over $20,000 per student. We spend less than $18,000. When we adjust for inflation, we're spending 25% less than folks in New Jersey spend per kid. We're ranked 49th out of 50 for the quality of our schools, ranked 49th in high school graduation, ranked 50th in four-year college degree. But we're ranked number one in one item, and I think this is of interest to the Finance Committee, fiscal stability. We're viewed as the most fiscally stable state in the nation. That's because we have resources, but we have to make choices about how we use those resources. There's only one item in our budget that is inflation-proofed, and that's the size of the permanent fund dividend, because it's a function of the inflation-proofed permanent fund. We don't inflation-proof education, health, social services, or transportation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate your public testimony. Next, we have Will Muldoon. And following Mr. Muldoon, we have Marissa Jensen, who is also an in-room testifier. Welcome to House Finance. If you may put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Thank you, Chair Johnson, members of the committee. I appreciate these evening opportunities. I think that's really great. You guys are leaning into that. My name is Will Muldoon. I live in District 4, Precinct 125, Lemon Creek, here in Juneau. I also serve on our local Board of Education, where I'm the finance chair, and I also serve on facilities. We just got done passing our budget, and it's 92.3 million dollars, with roughly 70 million for an operating fund. We are in a little bit of a unique spot where we had a 12.9% enrollment decline with COVID, and we did not recapture all of those. So we are currently experiencing that. And then we have just budgeted the last of the COVID emergency relief funds. And so it's going to be really tough. This budget cycle is really, really tough. And we did have to hold the line. Weren't very aspirational, you know. And we also passed that budget based on the assumption of just $400 to the BSA. If there is not that increase or the equivocal of one-time funding, we would be facing about a $3 million deficit just for this year. So we're going to have to do a revision there as well. And, you know, I'm a data processor for a living. I like being on finance because it's a lot of data. I'm a very data-centric person, and, it's tough because these points are very disheartening, you know, and it's, but I do bring them up to kind of show where we are and just kind of give an idea of what we would need, you know. And I know that I've been following the committee's work on the budget this year and the subcommittees, and, you know, I think you guys did really well. It was flat in a lot of areas and just small incrementals there, and, you know, education does just need a little help as well. So I appreciate your guys taking that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Marissa Jensen, and followed by Laura Krupe. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please put yourself on the record and start your public testimony.
Yes, I'm Marissa Jensen. I'm a parent here in Juneau. I have a fifth grader and an eighth grader who's here with me this evening. And until July, I was also, for 4 years, an employee of the Juneau School District. So I'm pretty deeply familiar with what our education system is working with right now. I know there are hard choices to make with the budget. And
For too many years now, we've made those hard choices at the cost of our children and their future. Regardless of whether any given individual has a child, we all depend on today's children for our well-being and care in the future. And we need to invest accordingly. I know people talk about the need for accountability. Some of the outcomes from our schools aren't great right now. I would argue that's the result of underfunding and shouldn't be used to justify continuing to underfund. When the cost of fuel goes up, do we expect our vehicle to get more miles per gallon because we paid more for that gallon? Of course we don't. The cost of fuel for the education system has been steadily increasing for the last several decades. That's the cost of fuel to heat the buildings and also the cost of the teachers that fuel our system. We've got to keep up with that because our children deserve that and we need them to thrive. As Mr. Hull spoke to, we need our children to thrive so that we can thrive as a state and a community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you want to make a statement?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just, Representative Foster, I just wanted to say I think your car analogy really helped drive it home. So thank you for testifying.
Thank you. Next up, we have Lori Krupe. If you would, put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Hi. My name is Lori Krupe, and I'm here as a parent, and I'm a school district employee as well. Thank you for all your hard work. These decisions aren't easy, and I certainly appreciate all your time and effort. I wasn't sure I was going to come testify when I came. I was just going to kind of be here to kind of to support people. But in sitting here listening, it made me feel like I needed to speak up. I'm speaking out in favor of education, public education, and in increasing the BSA. I was trying to think of how to approach this. I've been an educator my whole professional life. My parents were educators. It just seems obvious that education is so important for all of us. I have two children in high school. They've attended Juno schools their whole life. When my now senior was in elementary school, he had a full-time music teacher, a full-time librarian, a full-time extended learning teacher, and those have all been cut half. So that's been just within his school, you know, in the last 12 years that he's been in school. My daughter's 15. She attends high school as well. And there are 39 students in her class. I walked into her class to talk to her teacher, you could barely get through because all those desks were so crammed together. We can't lose more teachers. Students need textbooks. They need staff. They need relationships. I'm a school psychologist. I've worked throughout the state with CERC. And now in Juneau for the last 15 or so years as a school psychologist. And I see the students who are marginalized, and COVID has only exacerbated that. Distance education was hard on everybody, and we're slowly getting people back in and connected. But those kids need staff. They need people. They need connections. They need to feel, like they are part of the school environment. Those are our neighbors. So anyway, thank you. It takes people to run schools, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
We have a comment, yeah. Chair.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes,
I just wanted to comment, Ms. Krupe. Yeah. I want to thank you for calling out how important it is that we have the opportunity for relationships with children in the school with students. I think it's critical that students have somebody in their world that notices when they don't show up. And I think that's a big part of what the school is about, along with the teaching and learning that's taking place. So I want to thank you for spending your entire life in this career, and thanks to your parents as well for doing the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. We do have one more person that has signed up, Morgan Michaels. If you would like to come forward, place yourself on the record and start your public testimony.
Hi. So for the record, my name is Morgan Michaels, and I am a first-year teacher here in the Juneau School District. I work at Cockatoo-Goohene, and I'm grown up in Alaska, and I'm a product of the Alaska public school system, and both my parents have been in various ways products of the Alaska school system as well, and I'm here to encourage you to fund the public education system in Alaska as much as to make a significant investment in the Alaska public education system. I'm very nervous. but the work that you do is really important. I've been an active member of my communities that I've lived in across Alaska my whole life. I feel like I'm the perfect example of what the state has been looking for. I went to school here, and then I went back to school here, and then I've gone back to school a third time to get a master's degree to work in education, specifically to teach in Alaska. And I look around me, and there's not a lot of other teachers in that position, and that's what we need. And to ensure that you have other people who are making that investment in Alaska in the future, who want to stay here, who want to have a family and a career, I really just encourage you to make as significant of an investment in education as you can. Thank you.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for your testifying. I just spoke to students up in Nome last week, and I said, if you get an opportunity to testify, you should do it. Don't be nervous. We're the ones who should be nervous because we're accountable to the people. So I just want to thank you for coming up. Thanks.
Good. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and testifying in person. Appreciate it.
Happy spring break.
Our next person testifying in room, we have Natalie Troy. Go ahead and come forward, place yourself on the record, and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Natalie Troy. I'm here representing myself, but I currently work for the Alaska Council of School Administrators through the Alaska Fellows Program. I moved to Alaska in August of 2022, and I wanted to testify today in support of increase to the BSA. I am also looking at being a future teacher. I'm currently exploring options to get certified, exploring options for which state I want to teach in. I'm from North Carolina, so I'm looking at, North Carolina versus Alaska. What kind of benefits can I get? What kind of salary can I expect? And I just wanted to say that by increasing investment into education, you're looking to attract people just like me, who are looking at the salary, who are looking at the benefits, who are weighing their options. And as soon as I qualify for in-state tuition, I'm really hoping to get certified here in-state, likely at UAS. But without an investment in education, without that stable funding, it's a very difficult decision for me to want to stay in-state when I don't know, even if I land a teaching job here in 2-3 years, will I be able to keep that job? Will I be able to stay in a community like Juneau that I love so much and that has supported me? So, again, just as someone looking at entering the education system in Alaska, I really wanted to encourage you to provide funding through the formula that is stable and predictable so you attract people like me who are either from the state or from out of the state to stay here and work here and build the community. Thank you.
Thank you for testifying. We do appreciate it. That does bring us to the end of our list of in-room public testifiers. Unless the person that just arrived wants to sign their name in and quickly come to the table, you're welcome to do that. And we can go ahead and state your name for the record, and then you can sign in afterwards.
I just signed in.
Oh, you did sign in. Okay, very good. Well, welcome, and you're welcome to go ahead, put yourself on the record, and begin your public testimony.
Okay. My name is Jeanette Gagnon. I'm a teacher here in Juneau. I taught at Juneau Douglas High School, UDOT-McCaffey, for 18 years, and I'm now in my second year teaching at Johnson Youth Center. When I was at Juneau Douglas High School, I had the opportunity to attend Ms. Rep Hannon's class many times. I had students who were with her in government, and we visited the jail to see what that part of life was like. We got to listen to stories about students who were doing psychology class, and these big strapping men were eating mac and cheese blindfolded. And when they took the blindfold off and it was green, their stomachs turned. That's the difference that is made. It teaches life lessons. For me personally, I'm a special education teacher. I had students who told me stories about when they were younger, they hid under the front porch from their drunk parents. They learned how to steal the, they learned how to steal their parents' welfare checks so that they could go buy food before their parents bought drugs. That story was told to me in about my second year of teaching. I was 24. I didn't experience that growing up. I've gone to more funerals for students by suicide, drug overdose, or accidents in the water than anyone should have to. That was in my first 5 years of teaching. I had a student who is a success story. My husband met him hanging from the water pipes at JDHS in his classroom. He was a monkey. He was hard to control. He was a wild child. But with a lot of work from all of his teachers, with time learning how to be disciplined in the wood shop, I now have a beautiful Adirondack chair on my front porch that he made me, and he wouldn't let me give him the funds for that money. He now has a successful job, and he is a contributing member to our society. We need to continue to fund education so that our students from the lowest possible denominators have the equal opportunity to everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to go off net, and Chris Mead, would you like to go ahead and put yourself on the record, and you can maybe begin your 2-minute public testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for staying late today. My name is Chris Mead. I live in Juneau, Alaska. Parent and legal guardian for my daughter Heather, who was born in Alaska with a genetic disorder, severe and permanent disability, that she requires services through the Alaska Medicaid program. And over the years, she's received services from the infant learning program, special education, and school. SNAP program, adult public assistance, all these things made an important difference in her life. But perhaps the most important program for her has been the Medicaid home and community-based waiver program, which she was on the wait list until she was 11 years old. But she's been receiving services for the last 20 years, and it's made a huge difference in the quality of her life. She requires 24-hour care, and there's no way we could care for her without that assistance. So on behalf of her and my family, I just want to support increased funding for the waiver program and the care agencies, particularly the direct service providers and the often overlooked care coordinators. And they're all critical members of her team that support her living, although she can't live independently. She lives a much better life because of them. So thank you for supporting that program. And please consider increasing the budget for the waiver program to reduce the size and duration of the wait list and provide better services for those people who are not on the wait list.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in. We now go back to the in-room testimony. We have Lori Hagee. If you would like to come forward, place yourself on the record and begin your 2-minute public testimony.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your work in helping Alaska be a place where we all want to live and stay. I am a teacher here in Juneau. I was a 2010 Teacher of the Year and very proud to represent our state. I want to encourage you to increase funding for education. I have been around long enough to see in the past 5 years teachers rotating out of key positions, especially in the fourth and fifth grade where testing happens, where every year the students get a new teacher because they're leaving and the class sizes just continue to grow. I looked downstairs and there was about 35 people in the room, and that's about the size that our fourth and fifth grade classes have now become and will continue to grow if we don't invest. I do have to say that I was so heartened by Governor Dunleavy's speech to opening up the legislature, and that it is a priority. So I'm hoping that the legislature agrees as well, that he was said that kids shouldn't be viewed as a burden. When people look for the best educational system for their family, they'll say Alaska. The other piece is we have a right to exist on equal footing with the rest of the 49 states. And I think the only way that we can do that is to make sure that our funding reflects that, so that our kids have a chance and that our teachers have a chance at being successful in bringing our kids where we want them to be. So I encourage you to increase educational funding so that our class sizes can be at a manageable number. When I first came here, 25 was like, wow. And now we're looking at 35 as the norm. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate your thought in supporting this. Thank you.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you. If I could comment, Madam Chair, I do want to share that Ms. Hagee had my son over 25 years ago, I think, or 20 years ago, at a time when the class size was 25, and bless her heart, he managed to he was maybe perhaps a challenge, but thankfully the class was small enough. And while he is not a musician, perhaps you'll be happy to hear that he is a biophysicist, and he is making some great change thanks to your music that helped open his mind, and then much happened thereafter thanks to that great beginning. So I just wanted to comment. Thank you for allowing me that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. We have, next up, we have Emily Ferry. If you would like to come forward, place yourself on the record and begin your 2-minute public testimony.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Emily Ferry. I'm here tonight as a parent. However, in my work life, I have heard from employers across the state who are very challenged right now finding anyone qualified to apply or fill many of our open positions. And there's a lot of concern that is going to be the story of our future. And so I'm here tonight to encourage you to invest in our education system, because we know that when we do invest, we have better outcomes. We've had an experiment for the past decade or so where we've said, what happens if we cut our school budgets? Guess what? It's not good. Our outcomes are much worse as a result of that. We can point to program after program that has been cut that had been achieving really amazing outcomes, and now they're worse, right? So we know this. And if we do want to have that workforce ready for our future, we need to invest now. The research is pretty clear that we need to invest in elementary school and middle school. And I wanted to share a high point from our school. These are bridges that my kids made in their middle school occupations class. Instead of science, they have occupations and view all science through the lens of the world of work. So great workforce preparation. Two of my three kids now want to be engineers. I think that's pretty good for the future of Alaska. We were talking with another one of their middle school buddies who said that this year he had days where he was sitting with 100 plus kids and one teacher. I can guarantee you on those days, no one came out saying, I want to be an engineer. I had an amazing day. I had some opportunity to learn in a hands-on, meaningful way. So we have some choices before us and some great examples, again, that when we do invest, we have better outcomes. I also wanted to say I feel really lucky that here in Alaska, we have choices as parents. We have an amazing choice for Montessori programs and charter programs and homeschool programs, talking with homeschool families who just moved here from other states. They are amazed at the support, the options, and so forth. So I'd say let's stay the course on that, and let's increase funding for our schools so we can continue to have projects like this. Right now, if we don't increase the base student allocation, this entire school could close here in Juneau with 40 teachers that could be cut if we don't increase school funding. So thanks for that.
Thank you. That was our final testifier who is signed up in the room. And we do not have anyone additional online. So with that, we will recess until 7:30. And so we can get a few more folks to come online or would like to testify. So the House Finance will now stand at recess till 7:30.
House Finance back on the record. And we do not have any additional members of the public signed up to.
Thank you. We want to make sure this is all on the record. We do not have any additional members signed up to testify. Everyone is supposed to, that wants to testify is supposed to have signed up 30 minutes before close of the meeting. And I don't have anyone here. If someone were to pop in right now, I suppose I would take that just because they were diligent people. But I don't see any additional people adding showing up quite yet. So I want to make sure that I do make note that I'm very appreciative of the numbers of people that did show up in person and on at the LIOs and on by phone. It's much appreciated when the public takes time out of their schedule to talk to us. So I do appreciate that. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday, March 22nd at 1:30 p.m. The committee will receive a presentation of on the spring revenue forecast from the Department of Revenue, which we're all looking forward to, followed by the continuation of public testimony on the operating and mental health budgets from 2:30 to 4:30 for Fairbanks, Delta Junction, Kenai, Bethel, Cordova, Kotzebue, Nome, and Utiavik. I do want to make note, I'm not sure that I have put these out there before, but we do have the LIO call-in numbers from Juno, which the Juno LIO call-in number is 907-586-9085, and off-net is 844-586-9085. So those are the numbers to call in tomorrow, if anyone is keeping track of that for tomorrow. We also have people will have an opportunity to watch the live meetings. You can watch the live meetings through akledge.gov and click on the Live Now button. That will be when we are back in session. If you would like to provide written testimony, you may submit that written testimony to House Finance to the House Finance Committee at housefinance@akledge.gov or house.finance@akledge.gov. Emails will be accepted through 5 p.m. Thursday, March 23 at 2023. So we are in wrapping up our meeting, I do appreciate, again, those that have called in. I appreciate all the committee members that have been with us today, and this is just the beginning of a few more days to come. Thank you for all your attention, and we do appreciate the members of the public. Representative Hannah, did you have a question?
I do, Madam Chair, and I guess it's just more of a, I presume, I understand there is an invitation to a joint session for 3 p.m. tomorrow, and that if the Senate, if that were to happen, that we would just be recessing for a brief period of time from public testimony and then returning to public testimony.
You know, I appreciate your concern on that. I hear what you're saying because I've thought of that as well. I have not made that decision. In my opinion, it's more important to be here listening to the public. And I have not heard that there's a confirmation of a joint session tomorrow. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that we have public testimony tomorrow. If something were to change tomorrow, then we'll make sure and get notice out to the committee on what we're going to do. But at this time, I'm going to assume no changes. As you know, in this business, in this building, things can change on a moment's notice. And we'll make sure we try to keep up and keep track of that and make sure that we keep the public notice and keep ourselves available to the public as possible. Again, I want to say the LIO call-in numbers, 907-585-90, I'm sorry,
786-9085 is a Juno call-in number, and the off-net number is 844-586-9085. And the Anchorage LIO number, 907-563-9085. Emails can be received or sent to us at housefinance@akledge.gov. So we will hear from the Department of Revenue, and we will continue our public testimony for the communities of Fairbanks, Delta Junction, Kenai, Bethel, Cordova, Coxsview, Nome, and Udiovic. And with no further business before the committee tonight, at 7:39, we are adjourned.